Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
An antisocial social media app, a daydream standalone VR headset, and Father's Day tech ideas. Live from Twit Studios in Petaluma, California, it's the all-new News Screensavers. Yay!
Virginia, he's driving around the country. He's all hat, no cattle.
Fantastic voice for announcing this sort of thing.
Isn't he good?
That was top 10.
Welcome to the new Screensavers, episode 159 for Saturday, June 2nd. Can you believe it's June?
Gotten not nearly enough work done for it to be June.
That's the lovely and talented Alex Wilhelm. You are looking fabulous, sir.
Thank you. We had to talk about that before the show and came on different sides of that question, but I thank you for having me back. It is good to be home on us.
We share something very special, Alex and I.
It's true.
I grew up in a house that he now lives in. He lives in my childhood home.
And that was not done on purpose, in case anyone's thinking that I'm some sort of weird fanboy.
I gotta say, it's a little weird.
Probably the best coincidence of my life, actually, because it's the most surreal and odd and true. But
this is very pretty.
There you go.
Is this new since we saw you last?
This is new since I was last on the show.
Diamonds are a boy's best friend.
I got engaged.
Yay!
And my hand looks very sweaty in that picture.
Liza actually said she'd marry you.
She asked first, so
she proposed. Did she get on her knees?
We did it at kind of the same time.
Aww,
we planned it out.
Isn't that sweet?
It was sweet.
Congratulations. That's a year off, though. You're gonna.
It's a year from this month, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. June bride and all that.
But it turns out there's more than 12 months of planning to do. So
works out.
I didn't
perfectly
realize that weddings were equivalent to like invading Russia in the 1800s.
Massive.
It's a lot of work.
So you're gonna have a big wedding.
No, it's not even gonna be that big. It's just everything is so much work. Like picking a band. If you're not engaged, look forward to this. Picking the band is a multi-part process. What kind of music do you want? Where will the dance floor be? How loud? What style? Wow. Do they take requests? Like, wow. It's just, it's great.
Are you going to get married out there in Rhode Island, or are you going to get married in California?
We're going to get married out there in Providence, actually.
Nice. That's where her family is.
That's where her family is.
And your family is not around here, so it doesn't matter. They'll just go.
They will be on a plane out of the way.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Welcome. Alex is editor-in-chief of Crunch News.
Crunch-based news.
Crunch-based news.
Yes, sir.
CBN.
Yeah, the Christian Broadcasting Network. So there you go.
Yeah, no, they don't. They want their name back. You can't. They said Alex can't have it.
I don't want it. It's okay.
We have a great show. We actually, the new iOS 11.4, right?
Yes.
Came out, and it added the ability to pair HomePods and do multi-room sound. So I don't know anybody who has more than one HomePod. So I actually went out and bought another HomePod just so we can show you what it sounds like. In the wild.
I barely know anyone who has one HomePod. So the fact that you have two makes you sort of like super pinnacle user.
I didn't. I had to buy one.
Well,
who would have two?
Maybe you have a very large house.
Well, it's funny because it's been sitting in my kitchen since we got it months ago. And Lisa, for some reason, just discovered it about a week ago. She said, I like this. So it's actually okay. We're going to have two now. She wanted one for her office.
Oh, there you go. Now the house is all kitted out.
Yeah, it's all kitted out.
But we're also going to be talking to some makers of an alternative Facebook maybe killer with a privacy focus called Privy, which is made by a company called Cheese Inc.
Cheese in the Privy.
And it's going to be fun.
It's at Guy Kawasaki.
I was about to say.
Who is going to join us in just a little bit with his co-developer, Simon Hudson. That'll be very... We've been playing with it.
That's the thing. Before the show came on, if you're watching the chat,
good, room, I like it.
We spent half an hour making jokes and tinkering with this.
Privy
it's,
jokes.
It's quite, well, no, not just Privy jokes, but it was quite fun to play with.
I love it. The app has a keyhole. A private keyhole.
And the purple actually works. Another Yahoo is no more. We need a purple company.
It's available right now on iOS. If you want, just download it and install it, and you can play along with our home game.
Yes, there you go.
Coming up, Jason Howell reviews something brand new, the newest Daydream. It's the Lenovo Mirage Solo. He's going to wear that.
Is this the cheaper one?
Yeah, I think it's $200.
See, this is one that I'm thinking about getting.
I think it's standalone.
Which is fine by me, but yeah. I wanted to get into VR and taste it, so I'm pretty excited about this.
The other one would be the Oculus Rift Go. That's its competitor. Also a standalone. There it is. That's the Lenovo.
I think it looks fantastic. Let me finish my sentence. For a VR helmet.
Okay.
Because that is not a Bentley. That is a Pinto with a spoiler, but it looks less bad than other cars in the similar vein.
So you mean fantastic in air quotes.
You got to understand the scale we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here. But
on a scale of 0 to 1.
Compared to the first HoloLens, okay? That looks a lot better.
Yeah.
I would actually wear that and not want to cry. And then also today, just in time for everyone's most forgettable holiday, Father's Day, your favorite day.
Yes.
Megan Maroney of Twit has a rundown of good tech-y gifts for the father in your life.
Excellent, excellent. We also have some calls for help and questions for our mailbag. Before we get much farther into the show, though, let's talk about the news of the day. He's the news editor at Crunchbase. Actually, you mostly pay attention to the financial news.
So my team does kind of startup-y coverage. I do mostly the financial side of that.
So you're probably excited by the story that Microsoft is now actually worth more than Alphabet. Not just Google, but all of Alphabet.
Yes. Yes, so
that is actually surprising.
So here's a fun little game. If you combine the value today of Microsoft, Facebook, Amazon, and Google, and Apple, the big five of American tech, what do you think they're worth today?
I know Apple's almost a trillion, so I'm going to say with the five, maybe 3 trillion.
Exactly. They crossed that threshold last year.
I got it right.
Last year you did. Now it's $3.8 trillion.
Wow, they're going up.
It's been insane to watch. So this passage of Microsoft over Alphabet's market cap has been a long time coming, but indicative of the trend we're seeing for all these companies.
Is it kind of a seesaw battle? They go back and forth?
They used to for a long time.
Because Microsoft was stagnant for years. Stagnant. Its stock price was nothing.
Kicked out dividends every quarter like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And then it was passed by Alphabet, Google's now parent company.
Right.
And to have this kind of go backwards shows that Microsoft's cloud strategy has kind of worked out, at least for now.
But Apple's number one.
Apple's, over $900 billion, I think.
It's amazing.
People are laying bets, which will be the first to a trillion. Some people say Microsoft. That seems a bit optimistic to me. Some say Apple. That's a little bit closer. Here's my guess. None of them make it. The market turns first. They all fall apart.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
That's
a tough ceiling to crack.
That's going to be a tough one. But it's been a big story for people who really care about these tech conglomerates, which do so much of the tech that we see
today. They drive the market. If you look at the Dow 30, it's driven by those five or six tech stocks.
It's amazingly driven by tech. And that just shows how the overall U.S. economy on the kind of growth side, if you will, has been weighted more and more heavily towards what we do in and around here.
We got Apple
on the show, Google on the show today.
We talk about those big companies. We don't generally talk about financial results, but it's interesting. Apple's going to have a big event on Monday. They won't talk probably too much about their stock.
Probably not at all, I'd say.
It's a developer conference. You don't want to kind of, lord it over those developers. On the other hand, and this is a little bit of a disappointment for me, all our prognosticators said Apple would announce new laptops and new iPads, as it did 1 year ago at WWDC.
And I was really pulling for it. I was very excited about that. And then, unfortunately, though, it's kind of been the opposite.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you don't know till Monday, but Mark Gurman, who's normally very connected, said on Friday, don't expect any new hardware. And here's why I credit it. Because it's so close to the event. And that tells me that it's probably floated intentionally by Apple PR to lower expectations.
So they're out there kind of bringing everyone down a notch so that when they don't announce new laptops, we're not disappointed by the lack of new hardware.
Yeah, I mean, new watch bands isn't really going to get
them. My gosh, that's what I've always wanted. Leo, my birthday's in July. How did you know?
There will
I
be
totally wear an Apple Watch all the time.
I'm wearing one.
Well, that's because,
I'm a hipster.
That's the word for it.
I'm a hipster. So they will, of course, and we knew this, they would talk about the new Mac OS.
Yes.
There was a leak, maybe a little less credible, of video of the new Mac OS. This is 10.14.
10, okay.
And what we don't know is what the California landmark is, although in this leaked screenshots, you see desert dunes. See that kind of on the edges there? So the thinking is maybe going to be Mojave?
I'm just waiting
OS
for
OS 10 Mojave?
Mac OS 10 Tenderloin Edition. That's going to be a killer. If you're not an SF, you don't get that joke. But if you do, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, we were at an event in the Tenderloin. I thought, this is going to be a dive bar. And it was like, it's the hotel's the Gaylord Hotel.
Which is a nice, yeah.
Perfectly named. And it's a beautiful bar in there. Except it's funny because, remember this, Jerry? It's an open-air bar. And all of the hipster startup kids, because that's all San Francisco is now, is hipster startup kids. They're all sitting there having drinks after their long, hard day. And the bar, they're wrapped in blankets. These guys are such snowflakes that, I mean, this is May.
Leo, it gets cold in SF.
That's the one thing that it does. They're at a bar having drinks, and they're all like,
so,
yeah, well, our startup's going to be big.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the boomer generation.
You're kids. You're wimps. Oh, and there I am right afterwards. It was a good event.
Speaking of snowflakes that have fallen down and melted, I give you Leo Laporte in pose.
This was a dramatization.
Ah, that wasn't your day-to-day commute.
What's happening in San Francisco, Santa Monica, soon in Washington, D.C., scooter mania.
Yes, sir.
So this is the new, forget Lyft, forget Uber. In fact, Lyft just got a permit to do this in San Francisco. It's these electric scooters. You use your phone. They have a screen on the scooter. You tap it, $3 a ride. You ride it around, and then you leave it wherever it is. And that's part of my problem with this, because it started in Santa Monica with Bird, and there you trip. You can't walk anywhere. There's scooters everywhere in Santa Monica, and that's just one company. San Francisco is going to have a half dozen companies. The Board of Supervisors of San Francisco says, enough, stop. But on the other hand, who was it? Your friend Robinson?
No, my friend works for Lime.
Lime. Okay.
Lime. So Lime was Lime Bike. Now it's Lime does scooters that compete with Bird and Spin inside of SF. But there are more scooter companies being founded because in 2018 there's unlimited VC money for everything.
It's a unicorn, right? I got the scooter startup. So it is very controversial because you see scooters everywhere. Well, look, here we have some images. This is people protesting the tech sector in San Francisco because you can't get housing. You can't get, everything costs so much. They took a bunch of scooters and they piled in front of the Google bus.
And as an off-topic shout-out, that was an Axios story by Kia Kokolachava, my friend. Go Kia.
You know everybody I know. So this is kind of a way of protesting both the scooters and Google.
That is a lot of smoke bomb going on there. But here's the thing about the scooters, though. Yeah. All the jokes, all the complaints, all the litter, all the whining, they're a lot of fun. And that's why they still work. So one thing that hit me was I made fun of the scooters a lot until I had to get across Soma in SF to get back to my office. And you can't take an Uber or a Lyft because traffic is so bad. There's no real good bus. So I took a scooter. I had a great time. It's so much fun. You will die pretty soon, because there's a lot of traffic. It is a blast.
It's great, and you get through traffic. It's the fastest way to get from point A to point B.
Oh, for sure.
You don't need a Lyft or an Uber. It's $3. You ride a scooter. I think if you're of a certain age, I probably wouldn't want to do that, but it's a great way to get around. But now, here's another side market. Apparently, you can get paid to gather these scooters up and charge them. This is a kid in Santa Monica who is actually gathering scooters. Because he gets, $15 a charge?
You get 10, 15, 20 bucks a charge for these things. This is the new high school hustle. People are... So this picture's amazing. Look at that.
He's got 20 scooters and he's riding off. Anyway, that's the big thing.
But if you're in high school and you can't afford your cigarettes, charge Birds.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
I liked them. I'm sorry. You know what, though? Here's the thing at SF. Everyone complains about there being so many scooters. How about we deal with some bigger problems before we get to scooters?
It's better than traffic.
We have a homeless problem and drug addiction issues that we should work on. Those are the things that should bring us together. Scooters are a distraction. They're fun. Let them be.
They're all over the place.
Human excrement is all over the place. That is a problem. Let's do that first.
I don't think it's either or. You can get rid of the excrement and the scooters.
They haven't gotten rid of either.
Okay.
Pick one. Poop first. Just saying. I could have phrased that better. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. I think that's the news. So, we've been keeping poor Guy Kawasaki and Simon Hudson waiting. They're here. They joined us. Hello, Guy. Hello, Simon.
Hi.
Good to see
you.
Great to see you. So, who came up with this idea, Guy?
Well, Simon had the original vision for a photo sharing app, and I sort of use my velvet touch to influence him in a certain direction.
Well, I think the direction is interesting because the direction is privacy, right?
Yes, hence the name.
Privy. Which, Simon, you're British. Doesn't that mean bathroom in Britain?
It has a meaning of toilet, yeah. But that's the most private place there are.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point.
And it's opt-in. So, you know, it's quite private.
I'm in the Privy app right now on my iPhone. I downloaded it, installed it. So give us the mechanics of this, because when you first sign up for Privy, there's nothing there. What do you do for onboarding?
This is the marketer's interpretation.
Yes.
so the key to Privy is that, in a sense, it is a anti-social app. It is a reaction to much of social media, which has turned into something that's hostile and competitive. It's frustrating because people have volunteered to follow you or like you, and they still don't see all your posts. You're interrupted by advertising and trolls and fake accounts. And so we're trying to counter all that by making an anti-social app. So the gist of it is you get a fresh start. I mean, now that you know how social media can work, you know, we would all do things differently, right? I would not have followed everybody on Twitter, for example.
Right.
So it's a fresh start.
Made a Twit Privy. So he invited me, and this has got lots of wonderful pictures in it and so forth. But there can also be text, right?
Yes. Well, the design center is either a picture or a video or a link.
Okay.
So it's tied to something visual. And the key here is that it is double opt-in in the sense that you have to be invited and you have to accept. So it's not like a text message that just starts spamming you, because – you know, that is not a double opt-in situation.
Right.
So it's double opt-in, and it's also non-algorithmic. So I'll give you a real-world use case so you can really wrap your mind around this. So I'm a very public person with my social media. I have about 12 million followers. But I have 6 members in my family. And so for my 4 kids and wife, we want to share photos and video that is not appropriate or not of high enough quality for the rest of the world.
It's for you want to share it with your family.
Right. And we want only our family to see it, and we want every member of the family to see everything. And
right.
So this is the use case. So, you know, I take a picture of our pug when he pooped on the bathroom floor. I take a picture of my son when he dropped all the toilet paper when he was shopping. Going on the Privy theory. And so it's these kinds of pictures. You know, my son is a wingsuiter. He puts a picture of him wingsuiting that he doesn't want public.
Oh, that's terrifying.
So that's the key, that it's a fresh start. It's double opt-in. No ads, no trolls, no false identities.
Okay, no ads. How do you monetize then?
It's going to be a subscription model.
I like it.
See,
I
can see myself using that, because my parents are never going to use Instagram because they're like, I don't want my stuff on the internet.
Right.
But I would love to be with them a little bit more in kind of their day-to-day life. I don't talk to them as much as I should. This, I could probably sell them on. And if it's like, I don't know, $5 a month for my family, I'll pay it. I don't care.
Simon, how does the onboarding?
It'll be less than a cappuccino.
There you go.
Less than a cappuccino. That's a wide range.
That's true. That can be like up to $18 in SF. I don't know.
There's the Dunkin' Donuts, cappuccino. Yeah. So Simon, I installed Privy. Is it only iOS at this point?
Yeah. Android is released at the end of June.
Okay. I installed it. It was a blank screen. What do I do next?
You create an album and invite the people closest to you. So we're seeing people use it for families, for close friends, for events. Alex, your wedding next year, you'd create an album for the wedding, and you'd collect all the pictures in one
place.
And then
you'd add people. But you have to add people that pictures. You know. You have to add people from your contact list. Is that how you add people?
Yeah, and that's, again, the idea. It's focusing on a private network rather than the social, and that's the idea. Like with a messaging application, you can only message people that you know. So
perfect.
It's focused on that private model.
Now, I see I have an invitation. So Paul Tully was watching before the show, I guess, as we installed it. He found my handle, which is at Leo Laporte, and he's invited me. I can join or not join, but if I join, I can either view the album, accept the invitation, or reject it. I'm going to accept it. So now he and I are connected in this album, in this Disney album.
Yes.
Yes, you'll see that your label now says you're a photographer, but he is actually the owner. So you can publish pictures and images in that to that album, but he ultimately has control over the album, and he can invite people. And if you want to share pictures, links, etc., or comment, you can do so. You can leave, you can mute your notifications. It's designed to really be like somebody owns the album and invites the people they want to add things to.
Are those the only two status settings, photographer and owner?
Yeah, we have the option for member too. So, for example, places, you know, where you might want to add an album and invite your mother or father and you're not really wanting them to contribute photos. So you can just have them in a view-only mode as a member.
That's a member. Okay.
And you guys have just put this out, I think, in the last couple of days. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. The focus is for WWDC. Me and Guy are actually taking over a suite in the Marriott Hotel. So we're going to be inviting people to come and meet Guy and get to know the product. And yeah, that's the focus. And like I said, Android is coming at the end of June. But this is the main iOS focus under the Privy brand.
And there are two stream pages. This is the albums stream. So these are the albums that I am a member of, and I can drill down into an album and see the pictures in the album. The other stream is right. is the kind of activity stream, right?
Oh,
so
yes.
All of the comments.
It's activity.
Yeah. So
yeah.
This is
and
cool.
You can filter the albums that you want. So for example, at the top it says all albums. You can actually select to only show information from the ones that you're part of. And that was a big part of things that I struggled with in social media. I didn't want to see cats or babies all the time in social media. So right. You can just select the ones that you want to and actually, you know, tailor your experience and how you want it to be. And it's really focused on the private market, hence the name Privy.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that makes it a challenge to beat Twitter or Facebook is the network effect, that they succeed because everybody you know is on Facebook, and you have to be on Facebook if you want to communicate with them. But this doesn't actually benefit from the network effect. It damps the network effect down.
So that's probably the only way you can beat Facebook today is by taking a really radically different tack. Yeah. I don't think you could try to replicate Facebook
making
now.
Making another Facebook's a bad idea.
Right, because right. One, we already have Facebook, and two, we don't like it.
Yeah.
So I like this.
And I think it was important. At F8, it was mentioned that a person speaks on average to only 8 people. And WhatsApp stories were 3x what Snapchat stories were.
Right.
So there is a huge focus on the private market, and this is designed to replace people sharing photos and images in messaging applications that are just really a stream. This gives you a more tailored, focused experience where you can actually add a photo to an album, start a conversation, have a chat, but it's focused only on the people that are closest to you and mean the most.
So, Guy, you and Simon have been using this longer than anybody else, so give us some kind of feedback about how you see it being used, maybe some non-intuitive. It looks like you're making an album, for instance, Guy, for different events and things like that.
Well, I have made an album for the different social circles that I have. And this would be my family. It's my extended Ohana in Hawaii. It's my surfing buddies in Santa Cruz. And they each get different kinds of photos. Although I will tell you, Leo, you can take one photo and send it to three albums at once.
I love that.
There are some surfing pictures that are appropriate for my family, for my Hawaii Ohana and my Santa Cruz Ohana.
Right.
And I think what really, really made me think, oh, this is going to be successful, is that my wife no longer shares any pictures except with Privy. Oh. That powerful statement.
Yeah. I could see doing that actually myself. So right now it's free. Anybody can download it and install it. It's on the App Store on iOS.
Privy.app. Privy.app is the domain. It came out just in the right time from Google. Thanks, guys. So yeah, Privy.app. Go and download the product.
Nice.
And like I say, it's still early stages, so we're aware that they're, you know, there's going to be a lot of feedback, and that's what we encourage people to do. Just send us a tweet, give us feedback, give us comments. But like Guy said, you know, uploading one picture to multiple albums, you get different feedback. The same picture, you can get different feedback from different people. So a picture of, say, Guy surfing to his family would be different to his mates. And I think that's what's important about Privy. You've got different clusters of friends that comment differently based upon what photo is.
And Guy, do you have a time frame for turning on monetization?
When Simon says.
And with a pun.
Good answer.
All right, Simon, do you have a time frame?
when I think we're going to continue for our next probably quarter and test the water, see how it is. Cappuccinos in San Francisco are very expensive, so if we use that model, you know, I bought one from Blue Bottle for $7 the other day,
so I'm cool
with that pricing. But yeah, I would say probably towards the end of the year we would look at switching it on. There's still a lot of kind of, you know, tests that we want to do and get the feeling that making this app perfect for people to use and enjoy.
Have you raised money for this, or are you footing the bill yourself? How's this working?
Yes, we did an angel round at the beginning of the year, and we're going to be using that to kind of evolve the product.
Nice.
And then after WWDC, we're going to be looking and focusing on, you know, what routes to take after the Android app is live.
I really like this. I think it's good.
Yeah, it's well timed too. Everyone's worried about privacy, data sharing. If you pay for it yourself, you get to own all your stuff. It's right, well timed with the market.
Yeah. Hey, really nice to talk to you. Good to see you again, Guy. I'm thrilled to see you. It sounds like you're doing great. Guy Kawasaki, of course, the legendary evangelist from the earliest days of Apple, and many great books, including, and I plug it every month practically, APE, author, publisher, entrepreneur. Is that what it stands for? Self-publishing, and it's a great guide to self-publishing.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure to see you, Guy. And Simon, nice to meet
take
you.
Care.
I think you've got a hit on
and
your
you.
Hands. Yeah, thank
you,
guys.
Thank you very much.
All right,
it's been a
take
pleasure.
Care. P-R-I-V-Y. Good news. The name is odd enough that it shows up pretty quickly at the top
in the
results.
App Store. And if you need a friend, you can add Leo. Don't add me.
Yeah, privy.app on the web if you want to find it that way as well. And soon, as you heard Simon say, on Android about the end of the month.
I like this. I'm not going to lie. Usually I kind of mock new social applications. This one's not too over the top.
It's challenging. I mean, we've seen, remember Vero, which came out with a big splash, and it was a kind of a Twitter. You don't remember?
Yeah, no, I don't.
It was a Twitter replacement. Whatever happened to them?
There was Mastodon.
Mastodon. Remember how excited everybody was? I was excited.
I think I've given
Hello,
money to one of these.
And Diaspora.
Diaspora with the stupid little asterisk mark.
It's very hard to succeed. And, you know, it's what really the only company that I think of that most recently came out of nowhere is, believe it or not, going way back to Snapchat.
I was about to say, I think it was actually Snap. And look at how well they're doing right now in the markets. Not so well.
Not so well.
They're
you know why? Instagram came along and ate their lunch.
Yeah. Well, I would pay... How much money would you pay for Instagram with a chronological feed and not an algorithmic feed?
The algorithmic feed. Now, that's an interesting story because Instagram swears that prior to the algorithmic feed, you were only seeing about half of all of your friends' posts. Not me. I would keep going until the bottom.
That's dedication to the cause. You will go right to the end.
Until I've seen... Oh, I saw these pictures. I don't need to do it anymore. But apparently, most people would look at a few and then go. So they say with the algorithmic sorting, you're getting 90% of your friends. But it's very confusing to me. Because,
also, just don't help me out so much. Let me make my own choices.
And I never see my posts anymore, right? Your posts are gone. They don't show you your posts anymore.
Did they used to be in feed?
Yes. Oh. Of course they used to be in a chronological feed.
I did an Instagram back when it was
$5 a month? No.
$5 a month?
$2 a month.
$2 a month. That may not be enough.
$25 a year. Oh, sure it is.
To take away the ad revenue?
How much do you think they make off of me?
They make a lot of money off of you.
I wake up every night and buy something on Instagram. I do. I swear
can we micro-target just your account? Because that would be amazing.
I bought shorts last night.
You bought shorts off Instagram?
Well, I actually
were they magical shorts?
I bought boxer shorts last week. This week, they say they're really comfortable.
Next up, Leo's going to buy some diet tea. And he's going to start following all the celebrities
God,
and influencers.
I have a problem.
Can we just take away his credit card? Can we
no,
do that?
No.
Can we do that live?
No, I'm helping the economy.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Well.
Let's help somebody in Toronto. What do you say? It's time for a call for
them. I like that.
They're comfy. Here's David from Ontario.
Hello, my name is David. I'm from the Toronto area in Canada. My question is about VPNs. I have two iOS devices and visit many public areas that have Wi-Fi, so I'm concerned about the data on my systems. Can you tell me about a really good, modestly priced VPN with great security? That would be great. Thank you very much for answering my question.
I'm just curious. Now, be honest. When you use, I'm sure you use public Wi-Fi all the time.
I do.
So do I. Do you use a VPN?
I'm the least secure person in the world.
No one does.
I'm busy.
It's a pain in the butt. Even though, and I know how risky it is to use your, for instance, if somebody out there has, you know, I mean, the Wi-Fi pineapple is a good example.
Oh, the thing you plug in and it just takes all the stuff.
Yeah, Darren sells this over on Hack 5 for, you know, testing purposes only.
Of course.
But if somebody's sitting in a cafe with a pineapple running, they can, even if they can't interrupt your stream, because you're encrypted to most things now, to Gmail, to Facebook, everything is HTTPS and all that. But they can see your laptop. In some cases, they can see the names of access points that you have joined on your laptop, and they can create a phony, a duplicate, a decoy of, let's say, your home.
Sure.
And it'll be stronger than the Starbucks
Wi-Fi.
So
you'll pick it.
So your laptop will say, oh, Leo got home. And now all of my traffic is going through their pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can man in the middle of it. They can do all sorts of interesting things to it. And there is really a threat here.
Yes, but usually you're thinking to yourself, I have one coffee, 3 minutes, and five emails. And you're just frantically... you don't have time.
Yeah. So I know I should, especially, you know, if you're at a hotel and you're going to be there for a week. And you're sitting... You could see everybody's shares on the network. I could see all of your iTunes music on the network because
I don't use iTunes. I'm not 100 years old.
I don't see yours, but I see his. So this is, I think this is a legit thing to be concerned about.
It is very much so.
VPN will protect you because not only is it encrypted to those individual sites, your entire system is encrypted.
Yes.
And what you really want to do is really is turn off the Wi-Fi radio on your laptop. And use hardware. This is my preferred solution. Use hardware to do this. I've mentioned this before. It's not the cheapest, but it's not overly expensive. About $100 a year.
Okay.
It's a company called out of Virginia, right next to the CIA. They're called Wi-Fi Consulting. I know, but I think they're cool.
Protect yourself. The CIA's name
I think they're cool. Wi-Fi Consulting. And they do something called the Tiny Hardware Firewall. Okay. If you go to Tiny Hardware Firewall, you can get it. This is one of them. They make a variety of them. This is a micro router. So this is actually really cool because what's in this, this is like, you've seen these USB keys that are Wi-Fi access points,
right? For sure.
So you turn off your computer's Wi-Fi access point. You plug this in. It looks like an Ethernet connection to your computer, but it is the Wi-Fi. It connects to the open Wi-Fi access point. So the bad guy only sees this. It's a router. So you're being protected against the outside world. And then it has some additional really handy features. Once it's powered up and it boots up, and it takes about 30 seconds to do that.
Oh, my.
You can turn on VPN or you can turn on Tor.
Oh, really?
So I can have, or both. I can have ad blocking. There's a lot of security built into this. And because it's so compact, I can carry this around. In fact, I do in my briefcase or my pocket.
And it's $100 a year?
And it's $100 a year plus about $35 or $40 depending on which one you get. For the hardware. This is the newest one, which I just got. This is actually a travel router. It's a little more sophisticated. It allows you to use Ethernet as well as USB. It's pretty, pretty clever. It is using the Wi-Fi consulting VPNs. They have a couple of things. One thing called Black Hole Router is great because you're the only one on the VPN. And that's also important because VPNs, you know, every VPN has different policies. And some VPNs, for instance, you don't want this log, which means enforcement comes to them, they have a log of what you were doing.
Which you don't want them to have.
You don't want that. So you've got to find a VPN that says we don't log. And you have to trust them, by the way. And there's other VPNs that have done things like injecting ads into your traffic. You don't want that either. Some of the big name VPNs have been caught doing this. So it's hard to choose a good VPN. And while, you know, there's TunnelBear, which I think is very good. There's NordVPN, which I think is very good. There are a number of good VPN services. I just don't know them well enough to know that I can recommend them
completely.
Wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
This I can, Wi-Fi Consulting. I've been using these for about 5 years. And I like it that it's hardware. Because that completely defeats a Wi-Fi pineapple. You turn off the Wi-Fi
on your device
computer,
itself.
They can't see your computer at all. It doesn't appear. What appears is this, and that's a router. It's dumb. It protects you. So that's, I guess, what I would recommend. It is a little more convenient because once you've set this up, all you have to do is plug it in, your computer, and turn off Wi-Fi. This thing's already working. It works with captive portals, by the way. That's those Wi-Fi access points where you have to type in a form, you know, hotels.
Yeah.
This will work with that. So before you disable your Wi-Fi, you set it up. Once it's set up, though, you plug it in and it's ready to go. You're ready to go. You're
so
out the door.
So thematically, when we had Privion, we said it's probably worth paying a few bucks a month to have control of your data. It's probably worth paying a little bit of money to have safety for your data. This, yeah. I think, is going to be the future. The era in which we just plugged into everything for free all the time probably wasn't worth it. And we're probably going to start paying us, kind of as a group, paying a little bit more to have a little more privacy and a little more security. And I think we'll be very happy with that in 10 years.
It's going to be interesting to watch, because the other side of that coin is when you've been getting something for free, it's very hard if they suddenly want to charge you, right?
Yes.
We know this. For instance, I couldn't charge for podcasts at this point because we've been giving away for free 13 years.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
would say, what, are you crazy? Look, we were talking about Bloomberg wanting $35
a month.
No.
That's a lot.
Not going to do it. Not going to do the paywall. So that's a problem.
But if you have great stuff and it's worthwhile,
Wall Street Journal, people pay for it.
New York Times doing quite well.
Yeah.
But those are $10 a month, not $35, Bloomberg.
$35 a month.
Come on.
And it's not like they need the money. How much do they charge for that Bloomberg Journal?
$20,000 a year. Do you know how I know that?
Because you have one.
No, because I can't afford one.
Oh.
So close.
Thankfully, he had one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so these are good. Remember that. You are somewhat protected because when you're using Facebook, Google, Amazon, they're already encrypted.
Yes.
So it's not like anybody's seeing that. There are these other attacks, and it has to be somebody, A, fairly sophisticated, and B, pretty nasty.
And interested in you. That's
and really interested in you.
If you're a very boring person like me, you're safe because no one cares.
There are more probably likely attacks other ways.
Spear phishing is much more likely.
Yeah.
But being safe is not bad. Caring about it is not wrong.
I loved it. I mean, I just carry it around. And the other device that's at the top there, you can use to... In fact, I would use this if we travel with the family. I set this thing up, and then they all join that. Instead of the hotel Wi-Fi, they get on that.
Oh, so you actually have your own private network.
They're all protected. I create a private network in the hotel.
And actually, that's not a bad-looking little device. I'd use that.
It's great.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. $63. And then you pay, I think, about $90 a year for the VPN. It says there, doesn't it?
$91.25. That is a very specific number. I would love to know how they picked that. Not $91.37, Billy.
No.
$91.25.
It's a good year.
It was a good year.
Yeah. Here's Megan Maroney with some Father's Day. Oh, by the way, next week, before we say that, I should tell you, next week, Jason Snell's going to be on.
Oh, really?
And if you, Jason's the Mac guy, sixcolors.com. So if you've got a question for Jason, here's how you ask it.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Now here's Megan Maroney with Father's Day tech gift ideas.
Father's Day is still a few weeks away, but if you're anything like me, you've been thinking about this holiday since you messed up so badly last year and got your dad a gift certificate for free food delivery that he still hasn't used. As it turns out, my mom really enjoys cooking for my dad. Go figure. Here are some ideas for you this year if you failed miserably like I did last year. First, here is a gift that my dad really did like. And I even caught him saying so on camera when I installed the Ecobee Smart Thermostat for he and my mom last year.
Now that I've got it, I really enjoy it.
If your dad wants to save money and control his thermostat from his phone, this is a great gift. And if your dad is environmentally conscious, consider this. If you have the Ecobee Smart Thermostat, you can easily donate the information about your home's energy use for good. Through their Donate Your Data program, Ecobee is working to combat climate change with over 20 researchers across governmental, NGO, and nonprofit sectors. I spoke to a representative at Ecobee who assured me that your data is anonymized and that this program is completely voluntary. If you already have an Ecobee and you're interested in helping aid environmental research, go to ecobee.com/donateyourdata and simply log into your account and follow the instructions. Then pat yourself on the back because you might have just saved the earth. The Ecobee Lite costs $169 and the Ecobee 4 with Alexa built in costs $249 and comes with one room sensor. Extra room sensors are two for $79. If the dad in your life is a runner, a gym rat, or a rower, or if he's the type who just sweats a lot while wearing headphones, consider the CX Sport in-ear wireless Bluetooth headphones from Sennheiser. These sweat and splash resistant earbuds can be worn with cable in the front or the back or even clipped to your shirt. Now, I don't love earbuds. I'm usually the over-the-ear type headphone wearer, either cans or those hooks that wrap around my ear. But the CX Sport work great because of the ear fins that don't fall out, even when I'm sprinting. It comes with three fin sizes and a selection of four adapters to fit most ears and block out sound. I know the trend is to have AirPod-like devices that don't have any wires at all, but I haven't found a pair that I can run with yet, including my AirPods. So I'll stick with these tiny wires that easily fit behind my neck, and then I don't have to worry about losing the truly wireless earbuds. I also like the inline mic and remote control for call and music control. If comfort is an issue with your dad, I can honestly say that these are among the most comfortable earbuds I've tried, and I have tried many. If your dad likes the sound of Sennheiser and he's not an athlete, you could get him the $99 Sennheiser CX6 BT. They aren't sweat or water resistant. Have you ever wanted to go canoeing with your laptop? Me neither. But your dad probably has, because most dads are super weird like that. The Catalyst waterproof sleeve for tablets and laptops is designed to both carry and protect your devices with a double seal watertight closure. Dad can use it as a sleeve in a bigger bag or turn it into a backpack. If he's not planning on canoeing, at the very least, he won't have to worry about getting caught out in the rain with his laptop or tablet. The Catalyst waterproof sleeve fits 13 and 15 inch laptops and tablets and costs $54.99. Check out iOS today for more gift ideas for your dad, your father-in-law, your kid's dad, or for you. Mostly for you. I'm Megan Maroney, and I host iOS Today every Tuesday and Tech News Weekly every Thursday with Jason Howell. And starting in July, I'll also be hosting Know How with Florence Ion, where we will be covering everything you need to know about the Internet of Things.
They're mine.
Internet of Things. She really took one for the team on that
one. That was three jars of water.
Holy cow. Thank you, Megan Maroney. Megan will be joining me Monday, 10 a.m., for our live coverage of the Apple stream. I'd like to comment while we're watching the stream together. You can join us, and we'll just have some fun.
It's a big deal for nerds.
A big deal. It's going to be a little bit disappointing, and so I think that's why Apple wanted nerds to know, don't expect any new hardware.
Which I'm still very bummed out about. But yeah, their hardware is doing some stuff, including which we have two of these right now. Why do we have two?
Well, I'll be honest with you.
I think you want to...
We're listening to rock and roll.
This is rockish.
As much as we like the HomePod for its sound, it is limited in some ways. It only works with Apple Music,
yes,
which is kind of a drawback. Siri is not the brightest, sharpest tool in the shed, but you know, it's a good sound. And this is the one from our kitchen. So we've been waiting because when Apple announced this, in fact, Apple, I think they announced this at WWDC last year, said we're going to have a HomePod, and it's going to be able to do stereo pairing, mm-hmm, and it's going to have multi-room sound, and they just released that after all this time.
With iOS 11.4.
Yes. So, I had to buy another HomePod because I only have one. I don't know many people would have more than one, except maybe Renee Ritchie. And
Apple shareholders, you are welcome for this segment.
Yeah, so here's a brand new HomePod. We thought we'd start from scratch.
I think you just pull it. See
how hard this is. First of all, we decided to go with the matching.
I like that. Can I take off the plastic?
Please. Isn't that the satisfyingest thing?
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's like your body after a sunburn.
You know, the real reason I buy Apple stuff is for the stickers.
I think Apple puts more time into engineering the cable holders than most companies put into designing their whole product. Look at how fancy that is.
Was it Neil Patel who said that the cable is surprisingly supple? It is a supple cable.
Can't be supple.
That is a good word for it. Here's our supple cable. So the first thing you're going to do with your brand new HomePod, after you plug it in and let it do its thing.
There's graphics going on.
We're going to see how hard this is to get.
You're going to see my face inside the reflection there. That's fantastic.
Wow. Your head fits right in the middle of
it. I'm being attacked by a spinning graphic. Oh, it made noise.
Ooh, it's making noise. Ooh, it's pulsing.
There we go. That's better.
So when you get a brand new HomePod, the first thing you do is you pair it to your home app. Let me see here. I think I have this up on your screen.
And this is the demo segment of the show. So if there is a glitch, we apologize. But this is how new hardware goes.
I'm going to add an accessory. I could add a scene, but I'm going to add an accessory. So let's see. Use the HomeKit setup code,
okay,
or hold it near the accessory. It recognized it. I have to say, Apple is brilliant in this regard. They really know how to do this. Now, I don't know what would be the right thing to choose for pairing. The other one's in the kitchen. Should I say kitchen?
No, no. Do a different. Okay.
No, yeah. They're going to be stereo.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Do I want to enable personal requests? Oh, what the heck? Should I transfer settings? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it plays you a song.
Isn't the onboarding is so good. One of the things it does do is it plays music and then adjusts itself for the room. So let's put this we want it to be.
There's a fancy word for that. Advanced beamforming provides a wider sound stage than traditional stereo pair.
Wow.
I don't know what those words mean, but they sound fancy. If you're an audiophile, I'm sorry.
We'll recap a little bit of... I have to put in my password. Don't look now. Okay. One of the things that we talked about when we first got the HomePod was how it's built. It's got a... upward firing subwoofer. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a misnomer to call it a sub, but the low end speakers that, and then it's got speakers, tweeters all the way around. I think 7 of them, and for a total of 8 different drivers, 8 speakers, each with its own driver. The nice, and of course, it's got 4 array mics, so it can hear you anywhere in the room. But the nice thing about how, there it is, those are the 7 tweeter array. The nice thing, 6
that looks mics. That looks fantastic. Yeah.
The nice thing about having those tweeters all the way around is it can aim the music somewhat. So that's why Apple said you don't need a stereo pair because you're getting the full stereo sound, but of course it's only separated at most by the width of your head if you've got a really tiny head.
Really tiny head.
So it says HomePod is ready. Good. All right. Now, let's see here. I am going to see what we do. There's the 2 HomePods.
That's okay. Fantastic.
Oh, it says update available. I probably should update it because that's going to add, I would guess,
the stereo
AirPlay
feature.
2 capability.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So now, in Home App, open one of the HomePods, tap create stereo pair. Okay.
You have to tap. Oh.
That's playing. Maybe I have to, it's updating.
I'm sorry. It's like 2 different bongos.
So where do I create stereo pair? That's my
maybe
question.
Maybe press and hold.
Update available. Download. Oh, I think I have to actually manually do this. All right.
Ah.
We're going to get a HomePod 11.4. Now, this is ironic because this is the one that came from the factory. It's a brand new one.
And that's the one that is not updated.
It's not updated.
This one is.
That one's been on the network for a while sitting in our kitchen, so it probably got updated automatically before.
How long is this update cycle, do you think? Shall we banter about Spotify in the meantime?
What about Spotify?
Do these not work with Spotify? They're still Apple Music only.
The only way they work with Spotify is if you use Spotify on your phone and then AirPlay it to the speaker.
Oh, that's
so
fine.
You can AirPlay anything on your phone to the speaker.
The problem, though, is AirPlay is trash. It does not work that well. If I AirPlay my iPhone
AirPlay
to my Apple TV,
yeah,
the next to each other, and the Wi-Fi's right there, it still can't quite make it work without lag. Which is just disappointing to me.
It's not going directly from that to that. It's going through the Wi-Fi into that.
Why can't they make it go from that to that? Because they have all the money
no
in the world.
Direct connection.
They're worth $1 trillion. Invent
like
one.
It's all they have is Bluetooth.
They make a better Bluetooth. The excuse, it doesn't work that well. It makes no truck in the universe. You have a quarter trillion in cash. That's my entire Spotify banter. I'm out.
Well, and it is actually one of the knocks on these is that really they're only truly useful if you're an Apple Music fan. Okay, we'll just pause Felicia here. It's still updating.
I'm impressed by this. How much software do you need to go stereo?
Oh, I don't know.
Twice as much, in fact, yes.
I didn't think this would happen.
So before we did the show today, we asked, should we try this out first or should we do it live?
And I thought we could just do it
I did too.
In real time, but no. So that's all right. We'll just chop a little bit out here.
Well, the good news is also this will eventually all work with Sonos, right? So the new technology will let you plug in Sonos speakers, the Sonos One to AirPlay 2.
Oh, yeah, because AirPlay 2 is a standard that other companies support on their speaker systems. So once they update their speaker systems, we should be able to do this.
Which is going to be pretty cool because I don't think everyone's going to buy a bunch of HomePods for their house if they already have a different stereo function built in. Sonos is quite popular for that reason.
You'd have to really be all in on Apple to be a HomePod fan, I think.
Well, they demand that with the Apple Music exclusivity.
The thing they were pushing was the quality. And I don't know. Listen, do you think it's a lot better?
I think it's fine.
It sounds like a Sonos.
I just don't listen to that and go, oh my gosh, this is so different that it changes my perspective on music. And also every
pair. You
don't
have to do that. Just tap the top. It stops it.
Also, every pair of high quality headphones that I have sounds way better than that.
Much better.
So essentially, what we have here is B plus audio.
And a Consumer Reports, and in fact, in our own blind test, which wasn't very scientific, in both the Google Home Max, slightly edged out the sound quality of this. It's $50 more, but it's got Google Assistant, which is much more capable than Siri,
which
and it
was
can do Spotify. Yeah, so
a key knock against these when they came out was that Siri was quite lackluster, and also they would leave rings on your desk if it was of a certain color, which I don't think is a big deal.
Real Apple fans will live with that.
Real Apple fans will wear those as marks of pride.
Yes.
Battle scars that they've earned.
Yes. I guess I have to do a 2.5 gigabyte update. So that's going to take a little while. While we're doing that, let's look at Jason Howell's review of the Google Daydream from Lenovo.
Once upon a time, Google announced that Lenovo and HTC would be releasing the first two WorldSense-powered standalone Daydream VR headsets. But then HTC ultimately dropped out of the plans, leaving Lenovo to debut their headset, and that happened earlier this month. The Lenovo Mirage takes Google's Daydream VR platform and adds an extra layer of tracking and believability to it with WorldSense cameras that are here on front that are built into the device. I've spent some time with the Mirage Solo, and it's an important step for mobile VR, dare I say a necessary step, but it might still be just a little early. First, as you can see, it's completely standalone. And that's such a great move forward for mobile VR. A few years ago, Google revealed Daydream VR that relied on your smartphone to be both the computer and screen, an extra layer of inconvenience when all you wanted to do was jump into the game or that experience. The Lenovo Mirage Solo strips away the smartphone, integrating all components into a single headset. It's large, and actually it's pretty heavy, especially if you're wearing it for longer sessions. The strap has a knob that you can use to cinch the headset onto your forehead. And then underneath is this little button that actually shifts the mask forward or away from your face. I found that it was really hard to get a perfect fit for my head personally. I'm sure this is different for everyone. I've just never sat quite right on my nose, and there was always just a little bit of light creeping in under the eyes. I think that was the biggest problem I had. But due to the WorldSense cameras, turning the lights off in my space wasn't really an option. It could actually mess with the motion tracking. Ultimately, I did get used to it, but it wasn't perfect. Now, on the side of the headset, right over here, is a power button up top, a headphone jack on the side, and then volume controls. On the other side, a USB-C charging port. Really nice to see USB-C in there, as well as a micro SD card slot, which you can use to expand the storage on the device from the built-in 64 gigs of internal storage. Inside, your eyes are staring at a 5.5-inch 2560 by 1440 display. That actually splits out to 1280 by 1440 per eye. The resolution to my eyes is pretty good, though the lenses themselves have a very specific center of focus, I thought, and it was somewhat easy for me to get kind of a blurry edge sort of feeling at times. The outer edges just kind of felt a little mushy. The chip powering all of this inside is the Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 processor. Basically, that's last year's flagship smartphone processor, but it's more than capable of driving anything that I played on the headset. Now, up front, you can see two sensors. These are what drives Google's unique WorldSense tracking technology. This is basically Daydream's solution for inside-out tracking that actually eliminates the need for tracking cameras that you would position around the room, is one example. And it's nice to have that kind of tracking baked into VR experiences, but it comes with some caveats. First, developers obviously have to specifically design their experiences with that extra perspective shifting in mind. And as it is, the Daydream VR software library is kind of limited, so you're limited by that. It's even more limited when you're trying to find games that utilize this extra dimension. Now, second, the tracking is restricted to 1 square meter, which basically means you're still expected to stay in a seated position and move your head very little in any direction. You might want to move more than you're actually capable of doing with this technology. Moving too far will pause the game automatically, and you'll be told to move back into that virtual box in order to continue. So don't expect to be getting down on your knees to pick something up off the ground or look too closely at that console. The perspective shifting is neat. don't get me wrong, but it begs for more. And at this stage, it feels like the beginnings of something potentially great. Now, the controller is pretty familiar if you've used any other Daydream controllers, although I have to point out, this is not the controller that shipped with the device. My girls at home unboxed this unbeknownst to me. I'm not sure where they put the built-in controller. Thankfully, the actual Google Daydream controller is basically the same. It's just a different color. Anyways, it's a motion-capable controller. It has a few options for control within the experience. It's all standard across Daydream devices. Nothing special to report here. Overall, this is portable VR, yes. But let's say it's a bit bulkier than what we've grown accustomed to. And let's be real, there's good reason for that extra bulk inside here. Everything you need is contained within this hardware. Honestly, this is the future of VR, standalone experiences that don't require a smartphone or a tether to a computer. But at this stage, this really does feel like early days. I'm happy it exists, and I prefer it over smartphone VR, but at a whopping $400 for the headset, it's kind of hard to recommend that consumers rush out to buy one right now. For the app and game library that's available at this point, it's a bitter pill to swallow at that price. But I have no doubt that this is a big stepping stone that brings us closer to an even more fully featured, perhaps room-scaled, inside-out tracking-capable VR system by Google down the line. In many ways, it's very similar to Facebook's recently announced Oculus Go headset, so Google has good company. I'm just excited to see where it leads to more than I am where it's at right now. I'm Jason Howell, and you can catch me on Tech News Weekly, all about Android, and very often right here on the new screensavers for twit.tv.
Thank you, JH. So you want one of these, huh?
Yes.
Pretty cool.
I have been waiting for the right moment to jump into VR for a couple of years now.
Now, this isn't like a Vive or an Oculus Rift where you can play game. You can, but it's like limited. It's not.
Yeah. I just want to jump in, tinker around, get my feet wet in VR. And I have a gaming PC, so if I want to get a nice one later, I can.
You can play simple games.
Yeah, but this is just, I want to just tinker. And this is the
That's a great way.
All-in-one, $200. Yeah. Easy.
I love it. Yep. All right. So it took a while. But 2.5 gigabytes later, we've got both HomePods up to the latest version of their operating system. Now, I'm going to pair them. Let's see how hard that is. So what we do, I guess, is we force touch one of them and select details. These are all the settings. And here it is, create stereo pair. I'm going to select another HomePod, create a stereo pair. Tap on a HomePod above it. Tap on a HomePod above to identify it and swap them if needed.
Okay, so I'll tab this one.
No.
Nope.
So, which one is that?
That's the right one.
That's the right one. Mm-hmm. That's what it should be. And this is the left one. So that's so we have left-right.
Oh, I see. Sure.
So for our benefit, this is left-right. But that's one of the things. This is probably a little bit of a downgrade because the whole idea of the HomePod is you could be anywhere in the room and hear kind of stereo sound. Now it's more like a traditional stereo where you want to sit in front of the stereo pair, but that's what we've done. So, all right, we're done. So what happens is your icon changes. See, I only have one icon, Kitchen HomePod, left and right. Should we play some music? Where are you going with that?
I'm
going
to make it more farther away so it's more stereo. Yes, this is my plan.
Extreme stereo.
In camera. There we go.
Yeah, keep it
there
in
we
camera.
Go.
All right. Okay, so here's problem number one. It's playing two different songs.
So that's not going to work out so well.
It's extreme stereo.
Wait, do that again.
Was it really?
No, I guess not.
No, just...
It's just bad.
Oh, I see. Why don't you play one slow song?
So I play a song. All right, so I'm going to go to my Apple Music. Give us a...
Alias by In Flames.
Is that your favorite?
No.
In the whole wide world?
No, but it has a guitar intro, I think. That'll work out well
okay,
for us.
Okay, Alias.
The Beatles with the hard left right.
Oh!
I've been outvoted, I believe, by
We definitely don't want this, whatever
what
this is.
What is this?
What Alias song do you want?
Alias by In Flames. In Flames is the band.
I've got the band Alias, and they don't have a song called In Flames.
Ah, I see.
So,
if you're not a fan of Swedish music, here's an intro.
In Flames, and the name of the...
song is Alias.
Yeah, no, I can't find
which
it.
Which is off of Come Clarity, I believe.
Come Clarity, okay.
This is
so glad we're doing this.
Yeah, well, okay. I could have picked something easier. I don't know how to work that. Why don't you pick a song, Leo, and then...
It's apparently completely ignoring the choice, because it's staying with the Peter Gabriel.
Yes, because that's a different song by In Flames that is also not being played.
So apparently it doesn't really care.
Is that
what
Apple Music?
You know what I forgot?
What?
Hey, Siri. Listen to Alias In Flames.
Now playing the Alias by In Flames.
Yeah, see, it sounds, that sounds okay.
Is it extreme left right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's stereo.
Okay.
I hear that in the left and that in the right. Hey, Siri, stop.
There we go.
What Beatles song is extremely left and right?
Name a Beatles song.
What's a really good stereo song?
You have stumped the entire studio with that question.
Should have prepared this
Emerson,
better.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Carnival 9, Third Impression, Part 2.
Hey, here is...
Get over here.
Listen to Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Carnival 9, Third Impression, Part 2.
Sure. Here's a personalized station of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Okay, this is good.
Okay.
This is good. Let's hear.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Get behind the glass.
It's definitely stereo.
Hold on, I can't quite.
Is it better?
Oh, you're right. Alright, it works. I can't confirm.
Quick, get that man some more Red Bull. And hitting either one of them stops them both.
There you go.
Boy, that was a long way to go. It's really not that interesting.
That's how we fight for a demo.
In theory now, we could also do multi-room sound because I could play a group with the two Siri on it. I mean, the two HomePods on it in different rooms. And I could say, make that all be the same.
And now for everyone who has two HomePods, you know how to do it.
You know how to do it. Let's go answer the email bag, don't you think?
Let's do it.
I think it's time.
It is time.
Actually, these HomePods, we're going to separate them now because they don't belong together. Time for the mail bag. And our developer here, this is an Apple developer from Israel who wrote the works on the House app. He's a Q&A for the House app.
House is a big deal.
How do you pronounce your name?
Liran.
See, that's what I said.
Yeah.
You go. Say it again.
Liran.
She says it just like Gal Gadot. Liran?
Liran.
Okay.
No, it's two L's, I think.
Liran?
L-I-R-O-N.
Yeah.
Liran.
See?
Nice. Thank you, Liran. Mailbag time,
Mailbag
Alex.
Time. I'm here.
Just for you, the Oculus Go. Why is this in here sealed up? Is this brand new and fresh? This is the other choice you'd have.
The competitor to the Daydream.
Yeah, it's both $200 standalone Daydream compatible devices.
Those are cute little ones.
I don't know which one we like better. I thought that Lenovo looked pretty good, actually. It might have been a little bit better. It's not for you, Dutch.
I didn't think so.
Don't get your
hopes. But here it is. We'll put it right here on the fireplace.
there it is. Pick an email.
Ooh, I'm going to go with hopefully the one I know the answer to. So this one.
Well, if you don't, we can help.
We can help.
You start.
Oh, I'll start. All right. Hello, I'm a regular listener from Japan. I have been trying to find a way to filter iPhone photos, which I took using my iPhone. Camera roll and albums on the iPhone are a mix of photos saved from sources,
yep.
Camera shots, WhatsApp images, screenshots, photos saved from the web, etc. It would be great to have them filtered if I want to see only the photos I clicked, I presume taken. Can't seem to find a way anywhere, any pointers. I actually think I may have an answer to this. Is the answer just use Google Photos and just go with the easy solution? Is that
Google Photos would solve that because you
right.
could say photos taken on my iPhone.
Right. I only want to see those. And Google Photos, I think storage on Google is incredibly cheap for consumers. Probably a couple bucks for a couple hundred gigabytes.
Yeah, it's cheaper than Apple.
A bunch of it's free, too.
Free
yeah.
if you have a Pixel, yeah.
Free? Well, who does?
Let me see. It seems like you should be able... You know, it has a fairly good search, but I don't think... There's a search clause for how to find photos shot by me.
Oh, interesting. Just the photos that you took.
You could say iPhone, but that would... I don't know if that would narrow it down enough. And it doesn't work.
Can I bring up a complaint while we're talking about
yes,
this?
Yes, please.
So one thing that I don't like are these photo applications trying to show me things. Like, you have a moment from last year or
yeah.
2 years ago.
Well, that's Google Photos.
Right, which I do use occasionally. And right. I don't like it when it shows me, like, here are people you know. Here's all of your ex-girlfriends. Like, and all
that's
the photos
what you don't
of
like.
Them.
I know what you don't like.
Yeah, so...
Liza doesn't like it. Alex?
No, Leo.
Who are these people
Leo.
On your phone, Alex?
Leo.
What?
The point is, I don't want AI to help me. Nor do I want to have Leo
don't help
take,
me anymore.
Don't drive that bus over the cliff.
Yes. No.
I just don't like the AI help. I just want a reverse chronological feed of my photos, like with social, we talked about on the show. I want it simple, and that's what I
have a new term for AI. It doesn't stand for artificial intelligence.
Oh, what does it stand for?
It stands for algorithmic idiocy.
Oh, that's perfect, actually.
Because
that's what it is.
It isn't really intelligence.
No.
And it's artificial, I'll grant you that, but it's artificial stupidity. So I think it's what a lot of times now they're saying AI because that's the flavor of the month.
It is.
When it's really just algorithmic. I call anything that you could write a program to do algorithmic, right?
That's what that means.
And most programs are algorithmic. AI means that the program is in effect writing itself by a huge
self-learning
and a massive input of data, so it in effect writes its own code. And that's much rarer than you think.
In fact, it barely exists anywhere.
Yes.
People that say AI mean machine learning. And by machine learning, they mean it learns stuff. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, but I think it often... I would grant you machine learning could be AI if the program was modifying itself based on its experiences. You know, AlphaGo, the Go playing
software. Yes, fantastic software.
That's a good example of AI. It wrote itself by playing many, 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 many games of Go and learning the patterns, learning winning patterns. No human intervention. Meanwhile, Deep Blue, the computer that beat the world champion.
At chess.
Was entirely taught by humans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting difference.
Yeah.
But that was much earlier in the past.
It was. And I think sometimes people would categorize it artificial intelligence.
Sure.
It isn't. It's purely algorithmic. So I think there is a distinction there. And I think a lot of what we think of as intelligence is just algorithmic idiocy.
And also very true of startups who claim to be AI-powered. They never are.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Now, if they're AI-powered with Bitcoin, then...
Send all the pitches to Leo's email address. Don't send them to me.
Yeah.
I'm not in. What do you got?
You probably see a lot of
infinite blockchain pitches per day.
Yeah. Hello, y'all, writes John. I found a phone on Craigslist. Okay, that's this bad start.
Yeah, don't do that.
I found a phone on Craigslist that looked good with the right price. Yeah, I bet it did. I met the guy and put it in my SIM card and it wouldn't work. No. I found out... that the phone is not paid for completely. He got back to me and said he paid $80 for the network key to be unlocked. I am apprehensive. I don't want to buy the phone and find out a day or a month later it doesn't work anymore. Is it possible someone could pay to unlock a phone with the carrier? Thanks, John. So, yeah, don't buy that phone. Yeah. However, so you'll see if you search for unlock keys on the internet, you'll see lots of places that will sell them for you, some even for more than $80. And those are dubious. The best person, the right person to get to unlock a phone is the carrier. You're talking about phones that are carrier locked. When carriers sell you phones, and this comes back to the days when carriers subsidized it, right?
Yes.
You bought the phone for $200. It was a $1,000 phone. They took the extra $800 and they would just put it in your payments for the next 2 years.
Yep.
For that reason, they wanted to lock you in. That was a carrier lock. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore, but they still charge you the extra amount every month and they still lock your phone.
Yes, because they're so polite and kind.
They're just nice people.
Verizon, your best friend.
Yeah. So you have to get the carrier to unlock the phone. And most carriers, they're supposed to. The FCC says they're supposed to unlock the phone. If you've paid it in full, you're in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you satisfy a few basic criteria. You have to own the phone outright. And this is the problem with the phone you bought. This guy had not paid it off. The carrier hadn't unlocked it because he still owed money on it. So I would say stay away from that guy. That whole thing is shady. You can buy... I often will sell my AT&T phone. In fact, if you sell a phone on Gazelle, they'll say, well, you need to unlock it first. And they'll give you instructions how to call AT&T. Mm-hmm. Or you could do it in your AT&T app and say... And AT&T will say, okay, 24 hours, we'll let you know if we can unlock it. And they're checking to see that you've paid off the phone, that you're a paid subscriber in good standing, that you actually have an account. And if all of that's true, they'll unlock the phone. At that point, you can sell it or give it away. And it will be able to, you can put a SIM card in from any other carrier. Now, remember, the phone also has to work with that carrier. It has to have the right radios and all that stuff.
But don't buy a phone on Craigslist from a guy. Don't buy a phone of Craigslist that doesn't work, and don't deal with this sort of mess.
Yeah.
It's just never going to work out well for you.
He bought a key, he says, for $80 on the internet that purports to unlock the phone.
Yeah,
it's not legit.
And will it keep working? I mean, I wouldn't go there at all.
Yeah. The real thing to do is to unlock, get the phone unlocked by the carrier. And by the way, that even can be a little bit of a pitfall, because if you call, you can unlock a phone temporarily almost every time.
Sure.
Saying, I'm going overseas for the next month, they'll unlock the phone. He sells you the phone. It works until the month is over, and then it locks up again.
And you call him back, and he goes, decline, and then you're out a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
And you have a great phone that doesn't work.
I think there are better places than Craigslist to buy phones.
For most things, actually.
Swappa, of course, our sponsor, former sponsor. I think they're still a sponsor. Gazelle. They sell a lot of phones. And they check it. They make sure it works. They are responsible for it. That would be a better place to go. You may not save quite as much, but that would be a better place to go. Hey, Alex, it's great to see you. Congratulations on your impending nuptials.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I haven't been on this show in a while. It's good
no,
to be back on
the
Screensavers. Yeah, I like this show.
Yeah.
This show is always a lot of fun to do.
Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
it. Editor at Crunchbase News.
Yes, sir.
Where should we go?
If you want to follow us, we're just Crunchbase News on Twitter. Or if you're feeling webby, go to crunchbase.news in your browser, and we are covering startups, tech, and finance.
It's a great place to read all about it.
It's fun times.
Check it every day. And how much does that cost?
It's free. It's, unlike Bloomberg.
Absolutely free. Nothing at all.
It's just it's a blog with words on it. It's pretty fun. It's old school internet, guys.
The good old, remember those? The good old days?
Yes, before Facebook.
We do this show. It's free, too. It's like yours, ad-supported. I love that. I like ad-supported stuff. We thank you for being here. If you want to watch us live, you can come in studio. We had a great studio audience from Adelaide, Australia, from Israel, from Virginia, from a motorhome right out front. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. We'll be glad to get a chair out for you. You can join our studio audience. We do like you to email ahead of time, though.
So yes, please do that.
We don't like surprises.
It's never very good.
Yeah, mostly our guard out front doesn't like surprises. You don't want to surprise Mo.
No.
He's a little jumpy.
He's nice. He's actually lovely, and he's armed.
No, he's lovely, and he's armed. You can also watch live. There's no armed guard in front of our feed at twit.tv/live. Please, if you do that, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. There are armed guards there.
But yes.
They're pretty
you will get banned.
They're pretty nice. Yeah, they're only armed with a ban hammer. You can also get the show on demand. Watch it and listen to it anytime you want. twit.tv/NSS for this particular show. And new screensavers. Get it, twit.tv/NSS. Or subscribe. We're on YouTube. We're on every podcast app. Just look for new screensavers. Check that box. That way you'll get it the minute it's available on your phone, your tablet, your computer. We thank you so much for being here. We do have a great newsletter. Speaking of subscriptions, if you want to know ahead of time what's going to happen on our shows, Jerry puts this together every week. It's fabulous. Just go to twit.tv/newsletter. And you can also, if you want mugs and hats and T-shirts and all sorts of merchandise, twit.tv/store.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. You didn't know about that.
I have a new screensaver's mug in my house, actually.
It's a nice thing.
I drink coffee out of it most weekends.
Everybody should have one. And if you have an Amazon Echo, as long as I got you. If you have an Amazon Echo, you know we're on the Flash Briefing. All of our Twit shows are. Just add Twit to your Flash Briefing. You'll get a little daily dose of Twit in the morning on your Amazon. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm not kidding. I love that.